It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Oh, yes, it is. Top 4 at 4 brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the Drive. Get the interest you deserve with free checking at Citizens National Bank. Call today for details, 865-453-9031. Follow on Twitter at CNBTN. Now, with the top four at four, here's Bear.
Thank you, Russ. Number one, Russell, Tom Krieger, who is with the USA Today. He's a USA Today writer at the Tennessee and covers Tennessee high school sports, is reporting that the Tennessee Football Coaches Association has proposed three options for its football coaches to vote on. Number one, a condensed season, 8 games, 4 rounds of playoffs. Number two, flip-flop the fall and spring sports. And three, something that's being referred to as the Virginia plan, where the season would start in February. And they look to have their coaches vote on that before the TSSAA Board of Control meeting tomorrow morning in Nashville.
Oh, man. I don't know what would be more appropriate. It just, high school football in the fall seems like it's going to be really hard. Like, even if you were going to get it down to just conference games, 6-7 games, whatever that would be for the schools.
Right.
Yeah, some of these schools have like 50 kids on the roster. If you have a 20-person COVID outbreak, how are you going to, you're going to have forfeits?
I mean, how's that going to work? You know, I don't understand how they're going to be able to make a statewide decision. Because, like, right now, Shelby County is, I would not want to go there. They're really on fire right now with the virus spreading. You know, there's some teams in Knoxville that every year make one, if not two, trips to Memphis to play. I mean, specifically some of the private schools. You know, I just, it's going to be a weird, but can you imagine how weird it's going to be not to have high school football?
No, it's going to be awful, man. I mean, never thought I'd see it. Never even considered the possibility. It's like death taxes in high school football. It's just going to happen, right?
Yeah, it makes, you know, the blues of summer ending go away because you're like, hey, football's starting back up. Well, Friday Night Lights. And you get your college on Saturday and your pros on Sunday.
Do you think pros are just let's just consider a doomsday scenario. I know nobody wants this to happen, but say high school and college can't go. If the pros quarantine and they're able to play, like soccer's being able to play it in Europe and it's no fans, but we're able to practice and play, you think they'll play on Saturdays and Sundays?
I think that you could see them on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I think they'd spread the games out and make every game a ratings bonanza from Thursday through Sunday. Through Monday, actually.
Yeah.
Then you'd have Tuesday, Wednesday off.
And just cancel the Thursday games, knowing that they have the weekend to themselves.
Yeah, I mean, don't think that the NFL hadn't been paying attention to NASCAR with those midweek races.
But I mean, we say that, and if baseball and basketball are back as well – it's going to be really interesting. If all these sports are playing at the same time, it's going to be interesting to see what the networks do to accommodate them. For a viewer, I mean, we would miss the hell out of college football if for some reason it can't be played. But assuming all the professional sports get to play, I mean, we've never really had baseball, football, and basketball overlap like that. That could, I mean, we'd have stuff to watch every night.
Yeah, plus a couple of majors in golf. And I'm assuming, some tennis stuff.
Yes.
I mean, there'll be plenty of sports content. Just will definitely suck without high school and college football, if that comes to pass. Number two, update on your story yesterday. Cardinals have cut rookie wide receiver after his arrest. For allegedly driving his car into Lake Erie.
Jeremiah Braswell doesn't drive well.
No. So So can't say that I'm shocked. What round was he picked in?
I think he might have been undrafted.
Yeah, he was. He signed a free agent contract with the Cardinals organization. So, yeah, that's not unexpected, is it?
Probably did it help his case to make the team, put it that way.
All right. Well, number three, former Iowa running back Akram, I hope I'm saying this right, Wadley, alleges mistreatment within the program, says he regrets playing football for the Hawkeyes. Iowa's got a problem up there, man, bigger than their budget concerns. This guy's making allegations of player mistreatment within Iowa's program. Apparently keep coming to light weeks after the program parted ways with strength and conditioning coach Chris Doyle. He widely released a statement on Monday detailing his negative experience with Hawkeyes. And he went so far as to say it was a living nightmare and he wished he'd never played there.
So, in other words, he didn't like playing at Iowa?
No.
Well, look, man, it's freaking Iowa. Like, what do you expect? A sprawling metropolis with all kinds of fun things to do, with a lot of broad-minded, progressive people, with a lot of differing opinions on, like, it's Iowa, bro. I don't know anything about Iowa. I think there's corn there.
I mean, here's the thing. Here's some of the things he's alleged to have happened. Being repeatedly asked by Brian Ferentz, who I'm assuming is related to Kirk, if he planned to rob a liquor store or a gas station whenever he was seen wearing a team-issued wool cap. Claims to being targeted along with other black players for not gaining enough weight during the season. And being ordered to complete 20 hours community service by Brian Ferentz for unknown reasons. According to a text message allegedly between Wadley and Director of Player Development Broderick Benz.
Yikes.
He's got screen grabs. I mean, there's screenshots.
Oh, he brought receipts.
Yeah, he brought receipts, as the kids say, Russ.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you think? And number four, Russell, a man fell through the floor of his home. And what happened?
Man fell through the floor of his home and landed in a tiger cage.
I'm going to say no. Landed on his children.
No, that might have been a little bit better. Firefighters in Connecticut said a man who fell through the floor of his house or a friend's home and plunged nearly 30 feet down a well that was under the house.
Why'd they build their house
escaped
on a well?
With minor injuries. I would say that they're well water house.
Yeah.
Oh, like the Duke of Granger?
Yeah.
Drinking that well water out there on Bent Spoon Road.
Yeah.
Well,
he was rescued with minor injuries. That's your top four.
So he fell down like young Bruce Wayne into the well. That's got to be terrifying. Thank you, Bear. The top four at four, presented by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. Get the interest you deserve. Call today for details at 865-453-9031. That's 453-9031 for Citizens National Bank. Trey, how would you rate Bear's performance on the top four at four today? Don't hold back.
I'm going to give him a 7 out of 10. I thought he did a pretty good job.
Folky, what do you think about Bear's performance as the top four, top five guy?
I think he's doing outstanding.
Do you believe that the caller T-Carp could beat Holly Holm in a fight? He says if he trained for six weeks of training, he says he could beat Holly Holm in a fight.
She beat him into a permanent vegetative state in 30 seconds.
Yes.
Why do guys say that? You say the same thing, Bear, so I'll throw you in there at the numbskull T-Carp thinking that 6 weeks of training – they could jump in an octagon with Holly Holm and walk out with their life intact.
And that's T car.
I wouldn't last 20 seconds.
I think I could last 20 seconds, but I'd be all cut up and it would not be fun.
No, she'd get you in a submission, bro. You'd be done in 20 seconds.
I think I could keep her off me for 20 seconds. Like, I think I could stay away from a submission for 20 seconds. 30 seconds,
I mean,
that'd be pushing.
Did you guys not see that video of, I don't know who it was, if it was anybody, if she was a named fighter, but that big, swole dude take on that female in, like, a gym. And,
oh, yeah, she twisted him up.
Oh, yeah, just telling him, you're going to do my dishes. It was brutal. It was brutal. No, T. Carpenter get killed by Holly Holm.
Let's get D.R. Vall in here next. D.R. Vall, you're on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. Trey, I meant to tell you yesterday, but happy birthday.
Hey, thanks, buddy. I really appreciate that, man. I really do.
No problem. So I know we're needing.
Go ahead. D.R. Vall, you there?
D.R. Vall?
Oh, man, we lost him. D.R. Vall, are you with us? Oh, blew him up. Call back. Call back, D.R. Vall. We'll get you back here.
That's all I needed to say. Don't worry. We're good.
Just happy birthday to you.
Yes, thank you.
I think we've got him back here. D.R. Vall, you with us?
Yeah, sorry, guys. I went through a dead spot. So I know we're needing sports in our life. Netflix just put out a new series called Home Game. Have y'all watched that yet?
No.
Okay, well, you need to watch it. The first episode's worth it. It's they go to Italy. And evidently, Italy's got a sport. They call it rugby with no rules. I don't remember the name of it, but they have four goalkeepers and 27 players.
What?
And it's a mixture of boxing and soccer, I guess you could say. It's bare-knuckle boxing. And basically, these guys just beat the crap out of each other for 50 minutes, and they throw a ball in this huge net that's the length of a wall. But it's pretty crazy to watch, because one guy was talking about it. One match, he saw a guy left with his eyeball in his hand.
Okay. So I'm looking at, is it all different kinds of games? It's a series about different kinds of games?
Yeah, because the second one.
Yeah, I see. The Highland Games. I see. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. So, yeah, the first one is Calcio Storico, rugby meets martial arts in the brutally violent Calcio Storico, a traditional sport of Florence, Italy that dates back nearly 500 years. That sounds interesting. Oh, they've got one on free diving. I love free diving. Those dudes are nuts. Those guys are like.
Do you?
I mean, I wouldn't do it, but those guys will go out in the Philippines somewhere and just dive down 100 feet beneath the ocean with no supplemental oxygen.
Oh, they go further
than
that.
Yeah, they can hold their breath for like 4 minutes, can't they? I've watched a few YouTube videos on that.
That one, the astronaut, Jamie, the astronaut who went to the moon, she just accomplished like 3 weeks ago. She went to the deepest part of the ocean in the world. So she's like the first person ever.
Scary, man.
Go to space and go to the deepest part of the ocean.
Yeah, you don't like deep water, do you?
She went in the Mariana Trench.
I guess that's it. I guess.
That's the deepest part of the ocean.
Yeah, then probably so. Yeah,
some trench in the Pacific. I read the article Trey was talking about.
People are crazy, man.
Y'all need to watch it. That was nuts to watch. But, these people that are getting mad about Trey and Josh Palmer's comments, but they're the same ones that want to tell people they're snowflakes. Yeah, don't they seem like they're the snowflakes in this sense?
Yeah, it's just a crazy time, and hypocrisy is so rampant. And I'm hesitant to jump in, because they're like, and this is what Jamie was getting at the end of hour number one, man. It is a slippery slope, and we're all applauding these brave young men for taking a courageous stand and coming out and saying all these things. And it's like, well, okay, just remember that when somebody says something that you don't agree with or that you find offensive, free speech works in multiple directions, different ways. So we all, not we all, but a lot of people out there say they like free speech until somebody's saying something that they don't agree with.
Yeah, it's just whatever fits their narrative, I guess. But, I mean, at least we canceled what Mrs. Buttersworth or whatever to make the country better.
I'm a big de-escalation guy, Dr. Evol. We need to de-escalate, listen more, forgive more, assume the best in people, and everybody get along.
Yeah, get on some CBD. That helped me. I'm a high-strung guy, but I got on CBD. It kind of helped me out.
National RX, get the Ananda Professional. I like the droplets. They've got a little cream, too, that you can, like, dab on you a little bit, almost like a lotion or something. But, yeah, it just kind of mellows you out and helps you relieve anxiety and stress. It's good stuff, man. Go check them out, National RX in West Knoxville.
So, well, guys, that's all I got, but I would encourage y'all to watch at least that first episode. It's pretty fascinating to watch.
I'll do it. I will definitely give that one a try. I've been looking for something to watch, Dr. Evol. Thank you. So I've started two shows here recently, Bear, and I watched the first episode of Designated Survivor the other night. Are you familiar with that?
It goes downhill from there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my problem with it is, like, how do you very very interesting concept. How do you make a series of it? For those of you who don't know, it's basically the State of the Union address. The president always picks one cabinet member to stay behind in case a terrorist tries to blow up the Capitol, which is what happens and is the premise of this show. And all of a sudden, the Secretary for Housing and Urban Affairs is the president in a world where, you know, there's been the biggest terrorist incident of all time. And, like, it's I don't know that one. And then the other one I started last night, and I didn't even finish the pilot episode yet, was Yellowstone.
Wow.
Cuz I've heard I've heard it's so good. It's so good, and I'm going to try and finish the pilot episode and give it a chance because
please do.
People say it's very good, but the pilot episode was a little slow, I found.
Dude, it is look, I would not tour you wrong. It is a great show. I really think you'd enjoy it. You got to get through the first episode, and I promise you, man, it picks up. Kevin Costner's fantastic in that show.
And then there's the show my kids are obsessed with. Have you guys seen The Floor is Lava?
No.
Yeah,
I keep passing over. What's the story on it?
It's on Netflix. It's a game show, man. It's very similar to... Remember that game show Wipeout 10 years ago where, like, crazy obstacle courses?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that and Double Dare, and you've got these really cheesy, like, narrators and stuff. My kids love it, and they end up, like, rearranging the living room, taking all the couches and stuff apart and playing The Floor is Lava. Basically, the room where they play the game, the water is, like, it's all lit up red, and so you can't. You got to go across this obstacle course without falling in the water, right?
Yeah.
And my kids are...
They only win $10,000.
Well, yeah, I tell you, I did get sucked in. I did get sucked in, but it made me mad because, like, they don't go fast enough, and I find myself yelling at them, and I'm like, I can't do this. We've got some breaking news in the high school sports world. Stay tuned. We'll have that for you. Joe Rexrode of the Tennessean will join us as well. I said the Tennessean. I haven't done that in a while. Joe Rexrode of the Athletic. He switched jobs. Stay tuned. Breaking news coming up.
The Drop.
What a nice girl.
Big news from the TSSAA dropping moments ago. With the state of emergency being extended through the end of August, schools cannot have close contact activities during their practices in football, girls' soccer, wrestling, and basketball. So, football and girls' soccer cannot begin their seasons as originally scheduled this fall.
Why, girl? Question, Bear and Russ, why just say girls' soccer Don't they have men's soccer in the state that starts?
I think they play in the spring.
Okay.
I think
okay.
the girls play in the fall. I think that's the way it works. I think girls play in the fall, boys play in the spring.
It's different up here.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I just didn't see. Man, what? That's a shoo.
TSSAA Director Bernard Childress says, quote, "We are in the process of developing regular season and postseason options to present to the TSSAA Board of Control for their consideration. The board will ultimately make the decision as to how this will impact the postseason and if any adjustments can be made to regular season competition." Interesting point Jesse Smithy, five-star preps, made last night on Twitter, and we talk so much about college and pro sports. It's like, okay, maybe they can do what we're doing in Europe where there are no fans, and that'll help keep numbers down. You can't really do that in high school because the games aren't televised, right? And the high schools depend on gate receipts to make money and to fund their programs. And you can't really have high school football without fans in the stands. That system would collapse.
No. There's only
like all the other, maybe, like the college sports we talked about, it's going to be really hard for, without football, for them to, you know, make their budgets. And basketball, yeah. Some high schools are money.
Yeah,
makers.
I mean, and listen, we've had, so Harbaugh and Juwan Howard at Michigan have taken 10% cuts. I feel like I saw some other coaches. So another Power 5 school institute cuts, maybe Iowa State.
Kirk Ferentz did.
This is coming, man. If they – first of all, if they can't have football, like that will be a catastrophic thing. All schools will have to cut sports, I would assume. If they have football but fewer games, if they have football and no fans – you're going to have across-the-board pay cuts. That, like, Tennessee will have to do that, and they might still have to cut sports.
In high school?
At Tennessee. What are they going to cut? At UT?
Because coaches don't – are we talking high school or college?
Yes.
I'm talking about high school.
Yes, but I'm talking about college specifically right now. Like, if
oh,
they
yeah,
can't
college
sell,
coaches are going to have pay cuts. But high school, they don't make anything in high school.
Well, they make something in football.
Not a lot.
Well, they make enough to buy uniforms and pay the electrical bill for the field house and the lights and, you know, yeah.
Yeah, but the coaches aren't making big money is what I'm saying.
I understand that. But they depend on those gate receipts. If you don't have fans coming through those gates, it's not going to be good. Okay. The economic impact, granted, will not be as severe as it would be at the collegiate and professional level, but it would not be negligible either. Let's bring in Joe Rexroad from The Athletic this afternoon. Joe, you got Russell, Baird, Trey. Good afternoon, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing all right. I don't know if you have seen this. It just came down about 10, 15 minutes ago. But the TSSAA has basically said that with the state of emergency being extended through the end of August, that football and girls soccer as well will not be able to begin their season as originally scheduled. So high school football is, I think we all kind of knew that it was up in the air, but it's officially up in the air right now and will certainly not start on time.
I did not. I knew that was, I guess, likely after the order was extended. You know, as a middle school football dad, I know in my house that's the last couple of days has been some pretty unhappy conversations, a lot of excitement about, you know, football season for my son. And obviously, economically, I think you were just talking about that, Russell. I mean, that's a big, big hit, you know, and it's just, it's tough. I mean, I hope that something can still be salvaged and cobbled together, but, you know, it's gonna depend on how people conduct themselves here. You know, obviously, taking a turn for the worse here.
You know, we talk so much about the financial cost and economic cost of everything that's happening, but when you talk about the human cost and the developmental cost for kids, I've got a middle schooler and a 5-year-old who's getting set to start with, supposedly will be starting kindergarten this fall, and I'm sure you see this with your kids, Joe. Like, they are just, it breaks my heart for them, man, because they need that interaction with other kids. And in addition to the education and the mental development, the cognitive development that they're missing out on, just the emotional and community development that they're missing out on, is, it's really heartbreaking to see.
Yeah, no, it's tough. I mean, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are in the same boat. We had a lot of camps this summer. We have 3 kids, and, you know, different 15, 12, and 9, and a bunch of, you know, basketball camp and an overnight camp for my daughter. She was like, I mean, it's the most exciting thing of the year. That's gone. But, yeah, over time, I'm with you. It's more like, man, just the, and it's been a few months, feels like a few years, but still, like, you kind of had in your mind, okay, the fall we're going to get back to more normalcy, and, you know, you probably can't, you know, you can't have full normalcy until treatments and vaccines and all that stuff, but you know, you thought we were kind of on that path, and now it just feels a lot less certain, and yeah, it's tough for kids. I mean, you see it just in, you know, daily they've had to adjust to this life. I'm trying to think back to if I was that age and ever had to be told, no, you can't go play with your friends, or yeah, just sit here all day. I mean, granted, they have more electronics than we did, but man, that would have been brutally tough. So you got to try to stay patient with them on that too, because, I mean, you know, this is something that none of us have ever gone through.
No doubt, no doubt. Joe Rexroad at The Athletic with us. Joe, here in East Tennessee, the COVID numbers have definitely gone up, but still, from my vantage point anyway, and I don't go out a ton, but when I do make a trip to the store, it seems like, or just on the roads, traffic normal, people living their lives as normal. What's the mood like in the mid-state there, where I understand the situation is a little bit more dire?
Yeah, well, you know, the Mayor Cooper did put the mandate on masks. So, I mean, I saw a change. I went to the grocery store I go to is in Nashville proper. So, I mean, I think I saw like 2 people at the store yesterday who didn't have masks. And, of course, it's a mandate, so, like, they really should have been wearing their masks. But everyone else was wearing it. And so, I mean, that was good to see. But, yeah, you know, it's one of those things where cases are going up. And, you know, there was the Tennessean had a story, you're like, you're more likely now to get it from a stranger, which is sort of a sign of, you know, some pretty fast spreading. Obviously, I think some of this goes to people, young people, not giving a crap and going to the bar and stuff like that, which, of course, you can relate that now to college athletics and these, you know, these pledge forms, you know, that teams are having kids sign, because obviously that's part of being young. And it's a problem when you have packed indoor facilities right now. I mean, it's just guaranteed to spread it. But, you know, the death rate, of course, and the deaths, you know, you could say right now we're looking at the death rate getting better. But still, if the cases are going up and if hospitalizations are going up, I mean, stuff that we want to come back is ultimately not going to, whether people don't agree with that or not.
No, I agree with you, Joe. This is Trey, and I appreciate you joining us. When we, man, 2 weeks ago, the conversation was college football is going to start on time. We'll figure out how to deal with the fans. Now we're sitting here 2 weeks later, and we're like, okay, SEC Media Days pushback. And I think we both kind of know the reason why they don't want to answer the COVID question 126 times to give the same answer. And maybe closer to the start of football season is when they can do something like that. But I kind of ask you this. Is your perception on when this sport could potentially start up changed over the last month? And then also a second part I'll add on to that is, how did they start fall camp and have these players risk injuries if they don't even know if they can start the season yet?
Yeah, that's a good question, Trey. I mean, I just feel like it's a really tenuous moment right now. And you know, obviously, some states are very, you know, we see what's happened in Texas, Florida, Arizona, and things are having to kind of go back the other way. Things getting locked down, maybe things got opened up too fast, or people just not caring enough to just do some of the simple things to try to keep it from spreading. But I don't know. I just feel like the next few weeks, like every week is critical, and you're hoping to see good things. I mean, I'm still optimistic that things will try to start getting scheduled, you know, but yeah, with injuries and all that stuff, I mean, you know, you at some point these coaches are like, we got to prepare for a season. You've got to have full squad stuff. You got to have some contact. I mean, you've got to do some of these things. You don't feel comfortable playing football. I mean, some of these things, even though contact has been reduced so much in recent years, and I think it's been a good change, it makes sense. You got to have some of that to be able to have a football season. I think it's unsafe the other way if you never, you know, have contact in practice or work on things like that. So that's a big step still from what we have right now, which is these sort of limited workouts, you know, distance and all that stuff. I mean, at this point, I think we got to see some better things here in the next few weeks to feel good about that happening. So I don't know. I just feel right now at this moment it's kind of teetering, and we need it to go back in the positive direction.
Joe, yesterday, University of Tennessee released a podcast. And they've been doing a really, really good job. The Ball Network has, and Barry Wright and all them. It's called The Slice. And I put a quote up with Josh Palmer from that podcast, and replies were all over. But I ask you this. And it's going to be a simple question, but I think it's a little complicated. Do these players understand the power that they have in their hands right now? A, with their voice, but B, saying, "Hey, I don't feel comfortable playing," or I don't think this is going in the right direction." Do you think they understand what they have?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. And I really look forward to listening to that latest edition. I saw some stuff from it. It looked like some really powerful stuff being discussed there. I think Tennessee, I think that's just, in general, a great idea by Tennessee to let those guys have that platform. You know, I think that's brilliant, really, and I think a lot more schools should do that. But that's a great question about power. And, you know, I'll refer to my buddy and coworker David Ubbin. I thought he had a great column the other day about, you know, the state of Mississippi's flag, Kylin Hill, how that all got going, how that was such a terrific example of the power that college athletes have and using it for something good. And he contrasted it with the Kansas State situation. And this is, I hadn't really thought of it this way, but I think it's a great, you know, juxtaposition, compare and contrast there. You got this troll student at Kansas State who sends out this horribly, you know, ridiculous and offensive tweet about George Floyd. And it has become, you know, players talking about boycotting, not playing unless the school does something. There's a meeting. It's like, look, it's freedom of speech. I mean, you know, there's limitations on what you can do. There's an example, as Ubbin kind of wrote, you know, that's a troll. You know, he's been empowered now by this whole story and really has gotten exactly what he wanted out of it, right? By having all this attention and all this. And it's like, see, you got to figure out how to use the power too and where to direct it. So that's not really answering your question, but I think it's just part of the whole picture of that there is this kind of awakening going on. And I am very interested. I would be surprised, guys, if we get into this season or close to the season and we don't see some prominent players saying, you know what, I'm not comfortable, don't know a lot about the virus, don't want to get it. I know some people are like, hey, Dabo, you know, Boomer Sutton's out there throwing out Dabo. So when he's like getting his whole team infected so they can have herd immunity. But, you know, even if you're young and healthy and you might just have flu symptoms for a few days, you know, I can see a guy say, hey, I don't want to have this virus. I don't know the long-term effects. We still don't know a lot about it. So, no, I'm not going to play. We're seeing some Major League Baseball players do that. But obviously there's a big difference between professionals who already have a lot of money in the bank and these college players who a lot of them trying to, you know, carve out pro careers. It's going to be really, really interesting.
Joe Rexrode of The Athletic with us this afternoon here on Fan Run Radio. Joe, do you think that's what Dabo and Clemson are doing? Do you think they are purposely going for the herd immunity?
I can't buy that. I will say the numbers are crazy high, and it's like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say it didn't cross my mind.
Sure.
With Dabo, I mean, I would, you know, he's a different kind of guy, but I can't buy that. I mean, that's insane. And honestly, if you are him and you, so much of your life is recruiting young men and going into homes and saying, I'm going to take care of your kid. There's a whole lot of people that would be like, so this is how you take care of kids? Because I don't agree with you. So I think that's crazy. But I'm not going to say that it didn't cross my mind when you have those kind of numbers.
Old Dr. Dabo up there. he comes in his little his doctor's coat with a stethoscope around his neck, and he's gotten ahead of the game, man. They won't have to all his players have antibodies. They won't have to miss any time, I guess. So,
all right, national champs. There you go. Brilliant. Brilliant, Dabo.
This is Joe Rexrode with us from The Athletic. Joe, I mean, just your thoughts. Obviously, this news with the high school sports is not encouraging. We're seeing professional sports having their own issues trying to get going. College football, like Trey said, just 2 weeks ago, I think we were all kind of gung-ho. It's like, yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And now all of a sudden people are pumping the brakes, and it's looking 50-50 from my vantage point at best as to whether or not we have college football starting on time this year.
Yeah, I mean, I still, like, again, I always accuse myself of being too much of an optimist. I mean, I'd still put it at 75-25 in my view that we're going to have it, because I think it's so important. And every single effort is going to be made to make it happen. But, yes, some of it is honestly just left up to the general populace, and that's scary. And it's one of those things like, look, you can think wearing a mask is stupid, or, you know, your rights are being taken away, but there's been some research out there that suggests that it states that, or it's been mandated, it's been better, so why not do it? And even if you're not worried about yourself, why not wear the mask and maybe you don't transmit it to an old person who actually can die from this or whatever, you know? Just try to think about whether you want to have sports or not and other things to come back. And, you know, even if you think like you're legitimizing this virus that you think is overblown, wear the mask. I mean, it's just some of this is just people trying to think of the greater good a little bit. And, again, that's scary when that's part of the deal. But I think if things go in the wrong direction, it's just going to be hard for this to continue. All that said, again, I think that college sports is going to do everything possible to make it happen. And I think at the Power 5 level, the resources are there, all testing, all these things, you know, efforts made to keep things clean and contained and all that. Now you get to, you know, the FCS level, and that's another story too, because they don't have the resources to do that stuff. I mean, the whole sport, if you look at the whole picture of it, man, this is going to be another big, big indication of has and have nots. And I do think that ultimately this season's, I think it'll happen, but I think it will be a lot like 1918 with teams playing like 5-6 games and stuff like that.
Mm. Yeah, something's better than nothing, I suppose. Joe, always appreciate your time. Thanks for jumping on. Really appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate
that's it. That's Joe Rexrode at Joe Rexrode. On Twitter, follow him there. Does a fantastic job covering sports with The Athletic. And we shall see. That would be weird. If I told you you get 6 Tennessee games right now, would you take it? 6 Tennessee games this fall, played this fall before Christmas, 6 Tennessee games. Would you take it, or would you roll the dice hoping for a full season knowing that you could get nothing?
I'd take the 6 right now.
Trey?
It depends, man. Is it Charlotte, Furman?
It depends on which games. The first 6 games, so everything up to Alabama, you get Charlotte, Oklahoma, Furman, Florida, and then Missouri and South Carolina. Those six. Would you take that,
yeah,
the first half of the season?
You get two big games. You get one on the road, and you get one at home. Yeah, I'd take it.
What do you think, Folky? You just take half the season? That's a hard one. We'll make that the Rickard Rich Barbecue Smoking Hot Question of the Day.
I'll probably roll the dice and see how the whole season goes.
Just go for it?
Yeah.
Six games, not much, man. Be over before you know it.
Yeah. And even if they do good, they're going to have that little mark next to their name. Like, oh, if it was a whole season, yeah, they really wouldn't have won.
Yeah. Or, look, we'd probably be going 6-0 and just steamrolling, and then that we'd have to shut everything down. Rickard Rich Barbecue.
Beat Alabama.
Smoking hot question. If I gave you the first six games of the year, would you take it right now? Would you take that, or are you rolling the dice? Stay tuned. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
YouTube TV's jacking up the price. That's the one everybody says.
How much does that go for?
It's $50 a month now. It's going up to $64.99 a month.
I'm keeping cable. Hell with cord cutting.
You're going to be the last cable subscriber out there, aren't you?
Yeah, I love it. Love cable. The greatest invention of my life.
Really? Cable TV is the greatest invention of your life, Bear? That's so sad.
It's up there, man.
The space shuttle, the electric automobile, the freaking internet.
The internet. The internet's done a lot of good for us.
Oh, yeah.
Giving us Twitter and Facebook.
Being able to communicate with anybody whenever you want to in the palm of your hand, that really sucks.
Yeah,
I got it.
I don't know what you're going to say.
Democratizing information, that's been a net negative to society, you would say, in your opinion?
Yeah.
$64.99 a month. Trey, you hooked up the cable this week, didn't you? You went back to cable.
Yes, I did.
You sound so happy about it. They've got us by, cable's got us by the short ones, man. It's just like, it is the best product out there. It's better than any of the streaming services. I've tried the streaming services. They're okay. They're not as good as cable.
I just shouldn't have done it. I mean, I got the high-speed internet,
yeah,
which is what I've needed, because for the last 2 years since I've lived here in Knoxville, I've just been ganking internet off my neighbors.
Really?
And, well, not illegally.
They don't have a password?
No, not illegally. It's an Xfinity hotspot. So, like, they're all over the town. So, like, I've been getting pretty good internet just using that. But, you know, to stream things and sports and movies and stuff like that, which I don't watch a lot of TV. I just needed to up my internet to be able to do that. And they got me on the damn cable. Like, they got me. Like, I thought I needed it. But, like, the first week, Russ, I thought I needed it for my news, my sports. There's no sports going on. But you know what I mean. But then, now all I'm doing with my fantastic internet is watching Hulu, Netflix, and, you know, Amazon. So, the cable was a waste.
No, I found that. I've still got cable. I cut it down once this started, and we cut the fat a little bit at Stately Smith Manor. I cut down to just, like, the bare minimum basic cable. And I don't spend a lot of time watching it. Now, I know that sports, when that comes back, I'll be watching it more. But spend a lot of time watching Netflix, it seems, more than, and we got Disney Plus as well.
But that's what I do, like, at night. So, like, if I want to, I'll throw the iPad on late night, probably around, like, 8 or 9, once I'm done with my day. And we'll watch, you know, something on Amazon or Netflix. Like, you know, Yellowstone was on Sunday night. We watched that. But I'm saying, like, if I want news, I just pop on the iPad and I pull up, you know, whatever news I want to watch. And that's and that's it. Like, it, there's no, I don't need cable. I mean, if you gave me, if you gave me local channels and then I subscribe to something where I get SEC Network, I'm good. But now YouTube TV is trying to charge you up the ass.
Oh, language, so language. I mean, the two of you, Bear at the end of hour one and Trey just now. I mean, this is family entertainment. The kids are home, fellas. Do I have to remind you?
It's summer. That was a freaking accident, Russell.
First of all, lower your voice. Second of all, just try and be a little better. Try and clean it up a little bit. Is that too hard? We got George Carlin and Richard Pryor over here.
I don't appreciate it.
Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Out question is, would you take a guarantee of six UT games this fall right now? 53.6% of the audience says no, full season or bust. 46.4% say yes, they'd take the six.
Wow.
Divisive topic.
I just,
what do you even do with six games? Like, what would you even do if we got into the season and a couple of teams shut down, there's a forfeit here, a forfeit there, and like, how do you even square that? Like, do you have a champion, or do we just say, like Joe was saying, the 1918 season where everybody played a different number of games? Because
look, if they have a season with six games, Russ, pretty much what you're doing is you're putting down film for the NFL. I mean, let's be real. I mean, you get nothing out of six-game season unless you make all those six games conference games and you divide the division. You've got to take a game out of it, but you just – You make it, okay, whoever finishes first out of the six games in the conference, there's your champion. Like, maybe
we'd still be playing Alabama, guarantee it.
No, make Tennessee play every other team in the SEC East. Whoever wins the SEC East will go up against the winner of the West sometime in November in Atlanta for the title. That's it, done.
Nobody wants to talk about it, but in my opinion, the only way you're going to get a full 12-game college football season this fall is if you put the athletes, the football team, in dormitories where they all have their own room, and you quarantine them in there the way they're doing the NBA players at Disney World. And you let them attend class via Zoom online, and they don't leave except to go to games. They practice right there. The dorm at UT is right next to the football facility, and you lock it down. That, in my opinion, is the only way we're going to get a full 12-game schedule that isn't severely interrupted by mass, COVID outbreaks and guys having to miss games and stuff like that, and nobody's really talking about that. I guess we can't do
that.
What
about the support staff, Russ? I mean, the quarantine's only as good as how strong is the quarantine going to be. You got your support staff, you got your food services people, you got your training staff.
I wouldn't be
coaches, administrators.
I wouldn't be as worried about the coaches and trainers and stuff, because those folks are all adults and they could conceivably be told to do what they're doing in Europe, which is you go home, you go to work, and that's it. And sorry, you don't get to have a life. That sucks, but it's 2020 and we're rolling with it. The people who work in the food, the cafeteria and stuff, that would be your problem, right? Because you can't tell some guy who's making $10 an hour to work 4-hour shift at Smokey's Cafe that, sorry, you can't go out to eat or socialize or anything like that, right?
But we have to remember, I mean, these are public university jobs. So, I mean, unfortunately, they're just under the cut like any of us would be if we worked for any kind of public institution.
Quick break. Hour number three, the top five at five, coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Visit with Josh Pate from 247 Sports. Get his thoughts on everything that's going on in the world of college football when we continue next on The Drive.
The Drive.